pursue peace with all men. And sanctification, that is holiness, that means the progressively getting holier and holier. Pursue it, without which no one will see the Lord. We don't get sanctified in a moment. We are forgiven in a moment. Forgiveness is not a process. When God says, I have forgiven your sins, that's it. It's forgiven. When God says, I will not remember your past sins anymore, that's it. But sanctification, which is becoming like Christ, that's a process. It's like climbing a mountain. It's like running a race. It says here, pursue that sanctification without which nobody will see the Lord. Whoever you are, you will not see the Lord if you don't pursue sanctification. Forget about going to heaven. You won't even see the Lord. And if you don't pursue peace with all men, it's very important. That means, it doesn't mean that we have to be in peace with everybody. We have to pursue it. But we are told in Romans chapter 12, a comforting verse so that we don't get condemned. Romans 12, verse 17 and 18. Romans 12, verse 17 and 18. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never means never. If somebody shouts at you, don't shout back at him. If somebody slaps you, don't slap him back. If somebody throws garbage into your compound, don't throw garbage into his compound. Don't pay back evil for evil to anyone, believer, unbeliever. If they take you to court, you don't take them to court. If they spread false stories about you or your children, please don't spread false stories about them or their children. Leave it to God. I know when people have traveled, you know, I've been serving the Lord more than 50 years now. And so, you know, I'm a target of Satan. That doesn't disturb me. It's an honor to be a target of Satan. But God has often told me, don't deal with that person. Leave him alone. I'll deal with him. You want to deal with him or let me deal with him? I say, no, Lord, you deal with him. You know, when there was a man called Alexander the coppersmith who troubled Paul, Paul said, the Lord will deal with him. I will not deal with him. Because it says here, so don't pay back evil for evil. Respect what is right. And then it says, if possible, verse 18, do you know that this is almost the only command in the New Testament, the only command in the New Testament which begins with the words, if possible. You never read any other command like that. If possible, don't get angry. If possible, don't lust after women. If possible, speak the truth. Never, never, never. Because those things you can do. You can overcome anger. You can overcome dirty thoughts. You can overcome telling lies. But when it comes to peace with all men, it says, if possible, because it depends on the other party as well. That's why. All those other things like anger and dirty thoughts and telling lies and all, that depends entirely on you. It's got nothing to do with another person. Or most sins got only to do with me, my attitude. But peace with all men depends on, is he willing to have peace with me? That's why it says, if possible, as much as it depends on you. That means from your side, you always want peace with everybody. But if that guy does not want peace, you can't do anything about it. You're not going to fight with him, but if he wants to fight with you, what do you do? So sometimes the best way to pursue peace with all men is by never meeting them, never visiting their home. I give that advice to people. I say, don't visit that home because the Bible says pursue peace with all men. Some people think pursue peace with all men means I must go and visit that person and try and build fellowship with him. No, 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 no. The Pharisees who called Jesus Prince of Devils, Jesus didn't go visiting their home and saying, hey, let me explain to you, I'm not a Prince of Devils. He couldn't care less what they thought. He forgave them. But he warned them, be careful what you speak. You have to give an account in the day of judgment. He was very faithful there. But from his side, he pursued peace. And one of the classic examples of that to me is, it always speaks to my heart, when those evil people came to catch Jesus. And I think it was the high priest's servant, Malchus. The high priest was furious with Jesus, and his servant must have been mad at Jesus because he was a servant of the high priest. And they go to kill Jesus and go to capture him. And when Peter takes a sword and swipes off that high priest's servant's ear, look at Jesus' attitude. He healed it. He picked it up from the ground and attached it back. I don't think that Malchus served that high priest anymore after that. He said, you can't ask me to kill a man like this. I have a feeling I'll see Malchus in heaven. And he'll thank Peter and say, because you cut off my ear only, I'm here. Thank you. You know, the good, the evil that other people do, God turns to good. But what spoke to me is the attitude of Jesus. Put your sword back, Peter. This is a cup which my Father has given me to drink. Malchus is only bringing it. He's the postman. Don't get angry with the postman. It's a cup from my heavenly Father. I want to drink it. Jesus' attitude was, if other people are not at peace with me, they come to capture me, kill me, I'm going to be at peace with them. I'm going to do good to them. I'm going to do good to those who hate me. I'm going to pray for those who persecute me. I'm going to bless those who curse me. And I praise God for the opportunities I've had in my life to do that. How can you obey those verses if nobody curses you? Then how will you bless those who curse you? Thank God for those who curse you. You get a chance to obey God's word. Thank God for those who despitefully use you, because you get a chance to pray for them. Thank God for enemies, because you get a chance to obey the word which says love your enemies. So don't say, I have so many problems, this person troubling me, that person troubling me. Brother, sister, you got a chance to obey God's word. As much as it lies in you, be at peace with all men. And never, verse 19, never, 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 just like it says in verse 17, never pay back evil. Never take your own revenge. Revenge must never be found in a believer. You did this to me, I'm going to teach you a lesson. That's for unbelievers. The children of the devil can do that, but we will never say that, and we will never talk like that, and we won't have that attitude. As long as you live in the world, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to face a lot of problems from others, but we have a tremendous comfort, which we all know from 1 Corinthians 10:13, that God is in control of everything. He will not allow anything to come to me which is beyond my ability to bear. And till my hour comes, like in Jesus' case, I cannot die. Jesus died only when his hour came. It can't happen. If you're a wholehearted disciple of Jesus, you can't die before your hour comes. In no way. And so, and coupled with Romans 8:28, which comes earlier in this book, all things work together for good, then why should I take revenge? That person's done evil to me. God is going to make it work for my good. It's like getting a promotion in my job. I'm not angry with somebody who gives me a promotion in my job. But that's what happens. If you can see the tremendous power of your heavenly Father, that's why I say all sin comes from unbelief. It's when we don't believe that God is in control that we try to fight back, and we can't be at peace with people from our side. Never take your own revenge. That doesn't mean nothing will happen. God will deal with him, but you don't have to deal with him. Vengeance is mine. God does not say, I might repay him. No, I believe what scripture says. Did that guy hurt you? Don't take revenge. Don't wish evil for him. Wish the best for him. Pray for him. Bless him. But if he does not repent, God says, one day I will pay him back for what he did to you. And you cannot hold God's hand and say, no, don't do that. He will repay. That's for sure. And I don't try to be more spiritual than the Holy Spirit and say, God, don't repay him. See what the Apostle Paul, who was such a godly man, said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. There was a person, I don't know which town he was in, 2 Timothy 4:14, I don't know whether he was a Jew or a backslidden Christian. His name was Alexander, 2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Now Paul was a man who had been beaten, hammered, imprisoned. So it was not something small. Not once. He did me much harm. I'm sure Paul forgave him. He forgave him completely from his heart, 100%. But, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul says, one day the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. But you say, hey Paul, aren't you supposed to forgive him? Oh yeah, I've forgiven him. Aren't you supposed not to take revenge? No, I'm not going to take revenge. But why do you say the Lord will repay him? Because the Lord will repay him. That's a fact. That has got nothing to do with my forgiving him. Jesus forgave people when he was hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them. They were forgiven. But the Lord is still going to repay those people who killed Jesus. One day when he comes back, they'll all be punished. They won't go to heaven just because Jesus forgave them. Because Jesus, as I have often said, forgave only the horizontal part, the human part. You hurt me, I forgive you. But you also hurt God. If you want him to forgive you, you better repent. Such sins have got two dimensions.